How many of you have made nutrition kind of a, we looked into it over the last few years? Okay. So have I. And I can say right now, I'm BTech Sarah, and I'm so glad you came to this seminar, this breakout session on Does God Really Care What We Eat? But I feel humbled because I know there are people in this room, I know for sure, that know more than I know. But God's laid on my heart to share this, so that's what I'm sharing. I think shut the door. Here comes my friend Joyce. No, right on time. Thank you, Joyce. Okay. So let's get started. Welcome. It's really good to have all of you here. So we'll start. What is food? In Genesis 1:29, God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant-yielding seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit." Now, is this a command? He says, "You shall have them for food." In Psalm 104:14, we read, "Thou dost cause the grass to grow for the cattle, and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth." There's going to be a clue, food from the earth. In Genesis 1:30, we hear him say, "To everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." That's another big clue. So we think about the creative definition of food, and I think we look in our Bibles and we see things like olives and fruits like dates, and we see flax, and we see honey, and we see grains, plus after the flood, cattle and other clean meats. We can look at the scientific definition of food, and we're going to say it's made up of protein, you know, plants and animal, carbohydrates, and fats. Well, we're not going to talk about so much the scientific definition as other definitions. One thing I want to say is that fats are often given really a bad name. We say, "Oh, I'll get fat if I eat fat." That is absolutely wrong. Come on in. It is the kind of fat that's important in our diets. Actually, eating the healthy fats brings satiety or satisfaction to us. Healthy fats keep our blood sugars more stable. And actually, the good fats increase the burning of fats in our body. So don't be afraid of if you feel like you want to lose a few pounds. Eat the good fats. For a little bit, I want to talk about enzymes. Enzymes are found only in raw foods. So guess what heat does? Destroys all enzymes. Does that mean we shouldn't eat any heated food? No, not unless God's called you to a raw diet. But enzymes are nature's scissors. They break down our foods so that we can digest them more efficiently. Or you can think of enzymes as little catalysts, like little spark plugs. They make everything happen in the body. So the food, like our raw food, is the only place we find enzymes. These are truly living foods, such as fruits, vegetables, seeds, and nuts. Another seed that's loaded with enzymes, I know you agree with that, Denise and Joyce, are sprouted seeds. Actually, as we ingest those sprouted seeds, they're growing all the way down. They're continuing to be alive as we swallow them. So we can ask ourselves, what makes the food dead? You know, do we eat dead food? Well, we have to have some cooked food. I don't know how else you eat squash and things like that, potatoes. But dead food refers to heated food where all these enzymes are destroyed. But I think also of dead foods as processed and packaged foods, with all the synthetic chemicals and additives which the body does not recognize as fuel for itself. In fact, we don't camp anymore, but remember, Al, when we used to go camping, if there was any snacks out there, see people throw away marshmallows and some junky stuff. Even the squirrels and raccoons won't touch that stuff. They know that even that's not food. But now the preservatives in these so-called foods, you know, like you can find at fast foods, They have long shelf lives, don't they? You can keep them forever on the shelf. But if I buy fresh bread from Great Harvest Bread or my fruits and vegetables, they're going to spoil or rot in a couple of days. Just think about an apple on the counter. Like, we've got two almost rotten pears up in our hotel room. We bought too many. And they're getting mighty brown and very soft. These are fast foods that are 3 to 4 years old, compliments of Kelly and Jill Russo, some friends of ours. They're 3.5 to 4 years old. They have not gotten rotten. They are not spoiled because they're so full of preservatives. They look like they might have been, you know, a couple days old. They don't, you know what I consider these? These are like little food mummies. So think of fast foods. If you leave them out, they won't rot, but they're like little food mummies. Egyptian mummies, fast food American mummies. Also, if you think about all the fast foods and we have so many colors, you know, artificial colors, and we do know that these are really implicated in behavior disorders and hyperactivity in our children. I want to brag on my husband a little bit. I didn't tell him I was going to do this, but within this last couple of years, we have, and thanks to you, Joyce, too, we've been thinking about doing more juicing, and I don't know how many men in this world would buy almost all this organic produce, scrub it up, take off the ends, put it to the juicer, clean that machine, and then do it a couple times a week. So kudos to my husband Al back there. What does he put in it? We put in organic carrots, beets, the beet greens if they're nice, Swiss chard, a little bit of ginger, organic apples, kale, no, it's a green, parsley green, cilantro green, and of course all the pulp comes out, you know, it's a huge pile of pulp, and that goes into the compost. So we don't get our fiber, but then what we do for fiber is we have our organic, you know, spinach salad at night, we have our nuts, we have our raw fruits and vegetables, and we have been doing some, we actually found that, Bed Bath & Beyond, a $200 juicer at the clearance sale for $40 because it didn't have one little thing on it. And so now what we can do is we put in our organic strawberries, organic blueberries, we put in our whey powder, salvia and flaxseed, ginger, we put in the real organic coconut cream, we put in some rice milk, we put in sometimes a little vanilla, a little extra virgin olive oil. We just, and then we put our raw spinach in that, so this time we're getting all the pulp, right, and all the fiber. And Joyce was, you were instrumental in helping us with that. Well, we thought we were going to spend all the money for like a champion juicer. But with lots of expenses like weddings and all kinds of things, we just didn't do it. And actually, my juicer is from a garage sale, probably $10. So you don't have to spend a lot of money. Be on the lookout for those things if your income is limited. Another thing is I did not know that you could eat pineapple core. I always thought that was something you're not supposed to eat. Well, you can't really eat it. But you know what you can do every time we take care of it or take off the skin of the pineapple? Now what we do is we get that pineapple core and cut it into a couple sections, put it in the freezer. And in that great big blender, it is so wonderful. It blends it up totally. And with all the other things in it, it's a supreme meal. Welcome, Jill. This is a lady that had a health food store for several years and donated this marvelous display of non-rotten little food mummies. Okay, so 90% of the food that we eat in America is processed and does not nourish our bodies. This stuff just fills us up. Just because you can chew it and swallow it does not make it food. We've really divorced ourselves from food in its most natural state. And the more we digress from the original purpose of why food was created, the more we leave health and vitality behind. But you know, due to our hectic and busy lifestyles, who's busy in here? Anybody busy? Busy? I tell you, the more gadgets we have, the more time-saving stuff we have, the more internet. I used to think when I had my center that these retired people who excuse themselves from exercise were so busy, we don't have time. I said, you used to work 8 hours a day, 2 hours to dress and commute, and you don't have time. I've eaten those words many times over the last 7 years. So, due to our hectic and busy lifestyles, microwaves are very popular. It is one device that I have never and will never use. However, Al convinced me when we remodeled our kitchen, we had to have one. So it sat there and he heated his coffee a little bit. But I convinced him it wasn't good because microwaving food destroys 90% of its nutritional value. And according to Dr. Mercola, and that's a good a website, Mercola, MERCOLA.com. MERCOLA.com. He's a medical doctor who is into natural approaches. But according to Dr. Mercola, recent research shows that any food that comes out of a microwave oven suffers severe molecular damage. And when eaten, it causes abnormal changes in the human blood and immune system. And I just want to show you this poster. Oh, yeah, I got to carry my thing. My appendage. Okay. I don't know if you all can see it, but this just shows some slips of plants. And I saw this in the book, and I'm a little bit of a skeptic, so I did the research myself, too. But this is just where two slips of plants were put in the soil, and they took the same water, but for the microwaved water, they put in the microwave and cooled it down. And then they watered that plant, this side, with that water. And the other plant was just purified water. Well, by day three, little microwave water plant is drooping. By day five, he's doing really like he needs an emergency something. Day seven, I can hardly see that he's got any green. By day nine, he is dead. Now,
Same amount of water,
the same water, but and one of them just putting that water into the microwave oven and cooling it down, and that's what it does. How in the world?
How long did it take to kill it?
This was 9 days.
9 days.
Now, here's what I did. I'm a skeptic, too. I don't believe something just because I read it. We shouldn't do that. So my slips of plants were bigger, and I couldn't find them. Sorry, I was too much busy with the wedding and all that stuff. But I did the same experiment myself, only my slips of plants were bigger, so it took longer. But I just put two slips of plants in two jars, equal size, did the same thing. Because the plants were bigger, it took longer, but in 2 weeks, the one that was fed was in the microwaved water, well, the water that had been heated in the microwave and chilled down, was dead, just drooping and dead. So the point I'm trying to make is, I really would encourage you not to use a microwave, because it kills cells, and I've become more aware of the whole radiation, the electromagnetic frequencies. I mean, I wear things that keep me protected there on my skirt. With our cell phones, with our computers, with our everything, we have so much electromagnetic frequency. That's one more thing in our environment that's really hurting us. But this microwave radiation here is really, it hurts those plants, kill them. I don't think we need it in our bodies. Enough said on that. A wonderful replacement is a toaster oven. It works well for most things, just doesn't heat food quite as quickly, and my husband discovered he could heat his coffee up. We're going to have questions and answers at the end, unless there's something pressing. Okay. Let's save questions and answers till last. My husband found out that he could just heat his coffee, maybe at 2 o'clock in the morning, left over for the morning. It probably took a minute and a half. It's not that big of a huge savings in time. But this whole whole radiation is a huge, big problem. By the way, if you have a microwave and don't use it, please unplug it, because it is emitting radiation, even if you don't use it. It comes out from around and it is hitting you, so unplug it. Let's move on to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. I want to say that at least 10 minutes for questions. My husband's got signs or he'll alert me. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price." And here's the thing he says. "So glorify God in your body." He could say mind, your spirit. We're supposed to glorify God also in our body. I don't think the way most Americans are eating, they're glorifying God in their body. And I'm not here to judge. I'm just saying, I don't think so. But how do we glorify God in our body? Food is the raw material with which we build healthy cells and maintain energy. And we are charged to take good care of our bodies, our temple from God. It really is a life and death matter each of us makes daily. And I think one of the other speakers a couple of days ago referred to that a healthy body, we can serve God more effectively when we have energy, when we have health. If you feel terrible emotionally, physically, I mean, it affects every area of your life. Before we discuss, see you, babes. Before we discuss what are healthy foods and unhealthy ones, I do want to stress several basic facts meant to encourage all of you. Number one, it's never too late to begin a healthier eating program. Because, guess what? Our cells, our bones, our blood tissues and skin are all living and in the process of being replaced. In a couple of years, you won't have the same bodies you have today. So you can start wherever you're at. Secondly, we're all at different places in this arena of our life. I had people at my center that were living on fast foods, never had any fiber, didn't drink any water, were drinking pop. but I had to take them where they were at and encourage them to take steps from where they were at. So start where you are, and please don't compare yourself with anybody else. Celebrate all your victories. I was just talking to somebody in this room who had just lost 20 pounds, and she was talking about how much more she needs to lose. I said, wow, 20 pounds is too big, 10 pounds of sugar. That's a lot. I would suggest you don't reward yourself with, you know, maybe food items, unless it's healthy. And don't say, I can never, 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 ever have chocolate. Unless you're allergic, I can never have ice cream. Maybe you could say, every Sunday or Saturday on Shabbat, I'll have a small dish of some Häagen-Dazs ice cream. So don't be hard on yourself. Be realistic. So just listening to this teaching, I want to ask you to be thinking of just two areas where you can and are willing to make changes. Now, the area that challenges me the most is my tendency to avoid regular exercise. I know it's important. I do stretch almost every day, a bunch of stretches, which keeps you my limber, but I can find every excuse possible not to go for that walk. I don't remember the last time Ellen and I went for a walk. I go to the Y. I went to the Y probably 3 weeks ago. It should be 2 times a week. So none of us has it all together. And I'll tell you one thing that happens is most of us know a lot what to do. It's just that we don't do it, right? Okay, another thought that I often would share with my clients years ago is, I think we probably take better care of our vehicles than we do our own bodies. We faithfully change the oil every 3,000 miles or 3 months, whichever comes first. We have that little sign that says, do it, and we usually do it because we want that vehicle to work well. And we have the tires checked and rotated if necessary. The fluids are checked. And I can tell you one thing, if my vehicle makes a funny sound and an unusual sound, do I ignore it? I don't. I go to the mechanic and have them diagnose the problem. And I certainly don't purchase the cheapest gasoline and expect peak efficiency. But I think our body runs better, too, when we give a higher caliber fuel and do some preventative things. In Leviticus 11:1, we read, tell the children of Israel, these are the living creatures which you may eat among all the land animals. Any that has a severed hoof which is completely divided and chews the cud, these animals you may eat. So what are the health benefits of obeying the Father here? I think this is true, that pork can take up the human body up to 3 weeks to digest, and we're built to digest a food in a day or less. Otherwise, it becomes putrefied and toxic. I do know, and in my center, this is way before I understood anything from the biblical commands, I had articles that talked about food changing blood work in our bodies. And I would share that with my clients, not talking about anything biblical because I wasn't into that. But pork creates negative changes in our blood. And a few years ago, I'll tell you a little story. I had a minor dental surgery with a holistic dentist. So he gave me these homeopathic drops to take, you know, and then he gave me a little list of 5 foods to avoid. And on that list was pork. And I said to this dentist, and he didn't say anything about the Bible. I said, why can't I have pork? And he said, because it's a dirty food. And so, I mean, you know, if you start listening and looking, if even outside of our scriptures, you can find things that confirm the scripture is true. Now, I think this statistic is really big because what we eat has changed more in the last 50 years than all the prior 5,000 years. When I was a little girl way, way back, because I graduated from nursing school in the early 60s, so I'm among the elders. But what have we been doing? I didn't like, by the way, when they said to the senior luncheon that this is for the elderly. I thought, couldn't they have said senior citizens or the elders? I don't like the word elderly. I just put that in there. I guess I'm sensitive on that. What have we been doing differently these last 50 years? Before World War II, everything was natural and more organic. We did not have chemicals in our food. When I was a little girl on the farm in South Dakota, we made everything from scratch. There wasn't one box food. We had gardens. We canned. Can you see me? We canned. We butchered our beef. We had chickens. I remember one Saturday, I made 7 different kinds of cookies. I just remember that. It was a cookie-making day. But when there weren't box foods, and maybe there was some sugar and white flour, but there was no chemicals. There was no artificially the crap that we find today. Guess how many additives an average American, not this group, consumes on an average daily diet? Just how many additives or chemicals does maybe a typical person consume? Just guess. Can you guess? 1,200. Okay. Now, guess how many additives are allowed in our food in the U.S. that are allowed? 4,500. Now, compare this, and you were in Germany, Joyce. Compare the fact that 7 additives are allowed in Germany. Does that ring true? 7. And France, 9. What are we doing to ourselves? Okay. Now, the average food, unless you go to your farmer's market, which we just love in this, you know, summer and fall. We're from Green Bay, Wisconsin, so we don't have a long growing season. But we have a lot of cold weather for many other months. The average food travels 1,500 miles from its source to your dinner plate. So, but by reading the UPC code, we can know what country it comes from. And this is just stuff I just learned. I can't believe the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. In preparing this, I learned at least 3 things I did not know at all. And you put this down, 00 to 09 means it's from U.S. or Canada. But does anybody know the first 3 digits where if you read it, it comes from China? No, it's 690, 691, and 692 means it's come from China. 690, 691, and 692. Now, my husband and I, the last few years have been renting a condo in Panama City. Panama City Beach, an off-season. And I was going to Walmart, and I was so excited. I got this wild salmon, and the price was good, and we were having it a couple times a week. But I didn't even look at the label till the next year, and I saw, from China. And I'm thinking, oh, dear. Don't trust them. Don't know what kind of waters those were growing in, so be sure to be a label reader. Here's another question. Not a super Walmart, but how many products do you think an average supermarket carries? Just a guess. But not Super Walmart. I mean, I'm just a typical big grocery store.
Million?
Oh, no, no. Oh, my goodness. No, no, no. Oh, no, no. Yeah, 47,000 products. And we know some are paper. We know some are soap and things. But most of those, they consider food. So it's real important to shop around the perimeter of the store, go to the outside of the store. And here's another question you can ask yourself. Ask yourself if this item was a food when your grandma was a girl. If it was, then it's probably real food. She didn't have packaged food with a long ingredient listing. And if you cannot pronounce all those long words and you'd be a chemist to do it, you know it's not good for you. So what constitutes high-caliber fuel for our bodies? And I'll tell you, this is important because it is so much easier to stay healthy than try to regain your health once your body's broken down with disease. We all know that, right? But it is so easy in our busy society to ignore symptoms like, oh, I'm tired. I can't sleep well. We just think, oh, no one can sleep well. We get headaches. Oh, that's just par for the course. Gas, bloating, painful joints. A plaque in my chiropractor's office addresses this, and it says, the 5 most dangerous words, maybe it will go away. Okay? So listen to your body. It will thank you. So let's talk a little bit about things to increase in our diets. We want to have whole grains such as oatmeal, brown rice, quinoa, whole wheat, wild rice. Now, I've discovered over the last 6-8 months I'm gluten intolerant, so I miss my sandwiches, and that rice bread is horrific, disgusting, awful. We have found some tortillas that I can stomach. So I need to limit my grains to quinoa, amaranth, brown rice, millet, and they do make gluten-free oatmeal. Now, many people perhaps are gluten intolerant and don't know it because in talking to Jill and different people, many people feel better if they do avoid wheat, and some people feel better if they avoid dairy. I know even when I worked with people who wanted to lose some extra weight, that dairy and wheat seem to be 2 things that could keep some of the extra weight on. We want to increase fruits. I'll talk about organic after a bit. Organic is always the best, and I have a handle on that. Vegetables. We can get plant proteins such as beans, lentils, nuts, seeds. Get the best kind of eggs you can get from a farmer or range-free, and lots of water. One of my husband's and my favorite quick meals, people say, oh, I don't have time to fix anything. We'll open up a can of organic refried beans, And I have some raw goat cheese that I just sprinkle on top. Maybe have a little salad on the side. It is so filling. It is so good with fiber. It is so delicious. Also, if you're not vegetarian, then buy locally raised poultry and beef, like from the Amish or from a local farmer. We just purchased... Bye, baby. We just purchased some grass-fed beef. Okay. We just purchased some grass-fed beef with so there's no hormones, no antibiotics, and it is so delicious, and it's got that wonderful fat, that CLA, it's conjugated linoleic acid, I think. And it's so delicious, and it's a good fat for you. Just remember that all the hormones like estrogen that are given to our poultry and beef and other meats makes them grow super fast. One of the handouts, Joe, you gave me is they can make a chicken grow, what, in 6 weeks? And what's really sad, I've seen this on YouTube, is people like white meat, so I don't know how they isolate the estrogen, but the breasts of these chickens are so big they actually topple over. I saw that on YouTube. So sad that it's so synthetic, and a real big chicken you grow them how many months?
10 weeks.
But at least 10 weeks?
Yeah, and they're
good for eating. Right. So, yeah. And also this is a big factor in early puberty. You've been reading about many girls developing breasts at age 7 because they're having that in their milk, they're having it in their meat, they're having it, and then all the xenoestrogens with all the plastics and things in our environment are causing just a tremendous amount of estrogen dominance. Al and I, we also make our hummus. I don't like the soaked beans, so I'll buy organic garbanzo beans. We have a little food processor, and we put in our tahini, and we put in our garlic, and we put in sometimes some red pepper flakes, and sometimes we'll put in some spinach, and sometimes we'll put in some olive oil and spices, and it takes us like 5 minutes, and it's so delicious, just so incredibly good on that organic celery or on your rice crackers or whatever, or on your tortillas. Another thing we need to increase is our fiber, because of nature's intestinal broom. The dietary fiber consumption of the average person in the U.S. is one-fifth of what it was 100 years ago. So that's why there's so much more intestinal problems. And this is a real huge problem because our immune system is, a huge part of our immune system is found in our gut. And extra fiber can help. And most diseases start in the compromised gut. So constipation, abdominal bloating, and diarrhea are rampant. One of my clients one time came in and said, well, you know, I have a bowel movement once a week, and my doctor says, that's my pattern. I says, well, Mary, let's see. Because I don't think it helps the down doctors. It's better just to prove to the client what you want to show them. So pretty soon, I said, well, she was trying to eat more fruits and vegetables and grinding her flax and her yogurt, and she was exercising and drinking water. And pretty soon, she was having one or two bowel movements a day, not one a week. And I said, Mary, what happened to that pattern? Well, I just kind of teased her. Another thing that helps intestinal health is your probiotics. Really good. Absolutely excellent. Now, those are some of the things to increase. What are things that we should decrease? Saturated fats, although coconut oil has been given bad press as being saturated. You know, I think it becomes liquid, it's 76 or something. But coconut oil is tremendously healthy for you. It can also be used as a facial cream and just to saute things in. I make muffins. I muffin in my room because I know that I'm gluten, so it's got coconut flour, coconut oil, there's no sugar. It's the most wonderful recipe. It's moist. It's just got bananas and organic coconut, and I just love those muffins. So don't be afraid of coconut oil. Get the extra virgin organic. You want butter, not margarine. If you can, the very best is organic butter because butter, all the... all the preservatives and all the junk goes into the butter, doesn't it, Jill? So organic butter is the best, but butter is far better than margarine. Margarine is one step away from plastic, so just absolutely avoid it. Avoid shortenings such as Crisco and trans fats, which are partially hydrogenated fats. One popular food in our society is peanut butter like Skippy. It's terrible. You want to get the kind with the oil on top, and yes, you have to take a minute to stir it and then refrigerate it, but you're not getting that partially hydrogenated oil. Eat essential fatty acids such as omega-3 oils. Oh, I got to move along here. Fish oils like a wild salmon, or get your fish oil capsules. And avocados and nuts, even though they're 90% fat, are extremely healthy for you. Again, remember that good fats do not make you fat. They increase the burning of your body fat. They make you feel satisfied. They keep your blood sugar levels more stable. And then you want to avoid refined grains like white flour, white sugar, white rice, and alcohol, unless it's in moderation and you're not an alcoholic. Our current annual consumption of sugar is 141 pounds per person. And 63% of this sugar is high fructose corn syrup. I've just been reading much more about this the last few months, and I avoid it at all costs if I can. High fructose corn syrup is cheaper to make than sugar, so that's why they use it. But they're finding up to 30 to 50% of high fructose corn syrup has mercury in it. Not good for the brain, not good for your nerves. Dr. Mercola says that excess consumption of high fructose corn syrup is fueling an epidemic of diabetes, which has increased by 90% in the last 10 years. And diabetes or prediabetes now is found in 1 in 4 Americans. And they say that a teenage boy typically is drinking 4 cans of pop a day, and that has all high fructose corn syrup in it. And the diet is terrible, as I'll tell you too, so it's a no-no. Okay, now here's some things to avoid. Al, do I have 3 o'clock? Oh my. I go till what? I have 20 minutes? Oh my, here we go. I'll talk my faster speed. What we want to avoid, if it says sugar-free on the label, don't buy it. I don't even care if you're a diabetic, don't buy it, because it is trading, you're probably trading for no sugar for Alzheimer's later. It's just not worth it. Aspartame or NutraSweet is in over 5,000 products, never was tested well before the FDA accepted it. Some of it because some of us are getting wise to it, so it's being rebranded as AminoSweet to dissociate itself from the negative association. Many heavy Diet Coke addicts have been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis or MS. Recently, I read the story of a lady with MS. She was heading towards a wheelchair, and she stopped all of her artificial sweetener, I think it was NutraSweet, and all of her symptoms went away. Now, I can't make any claims here, but that was her story. These diet sweeteners also, it's ironic, you maybe take them to, quote, lose weight, they stimulate your appetite. And it's just not a good thing. These sweeteners are excitotoxins. They are toxins that excite neurons and brain cells. And this book by Dr. Russell Blaylock, who is a board-certified neurosurgeon, he wrote this 13 years ago when he knew about the problem. Actually, Todd and Regina Durstein gave me this to give to one of you. If there's one person here that really wants to study about excitotoxins, MSG and NutraSweet and all that stuff, I'll come up later and I will give you the book. And if there's 2 or 3 of you, we'll draw names. These substances can cause harm to the brain and nervous system, and they're related to neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Lou Gehrig's, Parkinson's. We just don't want those diseases. I can tell you the story of an attorney. I called this friend because I was concerned with one of my friends who was getting memory loss. And this friend told me about an attorney friend of theirs. He was in his late 30s or early 40s in the prime of his law practice. And his memory was getting so bad that he had to quit his position. And his father begged him to stop his, like, Diet Coke. He said, oh, Dad, don't be so silly. It's not that. So he went to Mayo Clinic and spent thousands and thousands of dollars. And I'm not making any claims here, but they could find nothing wrong. Of course he couldn't. So he came home with no resolution, and every brain and body and person is different, so I can't make no claims here. But finally he said, well, Dad, I have nothing else to do. I will quit my diet pop. And he regained all of his memory. And this was someone I knew personally that shared about this friend of theirs. You also want to avoid Splenda. That's kind of been given a good name, a sucralose. The testing of sucralose reveals that it can cause up to 40% shrinkage of the thymus gland. And this gland is the very foundation of our immune system. And it also reduces the amount of good bacteria in the intestines by 50%. And acid contributes to an increase in body weight. So you're taking that Splenda and you think you're helping yourself. You're not. A good option is xylitol. Be sure you get it from birch trees, not from corn or rice. Stevia. How many of you know about how good xylitol is for oral health? Oh, it's wonderful. Xylitol, you can get it, we'll just go in the health food store and ask for some xylitol. But it's found in many toothpastes and mouthwashes, and I have mints that I carry in gum, and it prevents the bacteria from adhering to your mucosa. Right, Jill? Okay. So it really prevents a lot of problems with your oral health. And they've discovered that people with heart attacks, at least 50% of them have had bad oral health. It's a bacteria in your mouth. It's a bacteria that goes in your endocardium or your myocardium in your heart and causes real heart problems. Another excitotoxin which I'm adamantly against is the monosodium glutamate, or your MSG. It's in thousands of products, and it can make any low-calorie food taste good. But it's hidden in food under 25 other names, so it's really hard to detect, like hydrolyzed vegetable protein, hydrolyzed plant protein, natural flavorings, and all that kind of stuff. You can go and you can Google, that's another thing. Excuse me. You also want to take care of your brain in other ways, and that is avoid aluminum. No aluminum cookware, no aluminum antiperspirant. Use baking powder called Rumford's baking powder. There's no aluminum in that. And just recently someone told me that there's aluminum in regular baking soda. I didn't know that. So now I got my natural baking soda. I just keep learning. And also salt, to make it free-flowing, it has some aluminum in it too. Also, right, Joe? Salt? What? In cake mixes, and it's like, and on autopsies, aluminum is found very prevalently in the brains of Alzheimer's victims. Yeah. So you just want to be careful. And, you know, quality food, especially organic produce, can cost more than junk food. But it shouldn't be considered a luxury when you think of the disease prevention and promotion of health. How many of you have seen the movie Food, Inc.? Okay. You really, put that down, please. Food, just comma, ink. Can I get it on the internet out? You need to see it because it will help you to realize out there what is going on in your food production. The handouts I have today, I'm not done yet, so I'm really looking at my time here. The handouts I have here, I want to thank Denise Brahenny for making one on natural healing modalities. Jill, you brought one on organic, eating organic. The benefits and how to gradually increase organic into your life, and it's very, very good. Then there's another one I have, a handout that shows the five most pesticide-laden fruits and vegetables and the ones with the least amount. So those handouts are all out here. Please help yourself after the talk. Okay. As Americans, we are not very healthy. These are pretty heavy stats, but we are number one in degenerative diseases in all civilized nations, number one. We're number one in healthcare costs per capita, but only 29% in longevity, and number 32 in infant mortality. We are 5% of the world's population, but prescribed 50% of all of our drug use. 80 years ago, we were among the healthiest people on the earth. I read this someplace, correct me if I'm wrong, there were 79 out of 79 industrial countries. We are way down on being healthy. And I personally believe that all the chemicalization and processing of our fast foods, plus all the water pollution, plus the air pollution, electromagnetic frequencies, plus way too much stress, are contributing factors. But today I can only talk about one thing, and that's what we put in our mouths. What if you... Oh, my, 10 minutes. Whew, here we go. I got my 10-minute sign. Okay. When I practiced this with my husband the other day, the whole thing was only 39 minutes, but I did ad lib. Okay. I'll continue. What if one day you looked at the headlines and it said, 4 jumbo jets crashed, no survivors? What if the next day your headlines were, 4 jumbo jets crashed today, no survivors? And the next day, 4 jumbo jets crashed today, no survivors. Well, you folks, it's happening every day. 1,500 people a day are crashing dead with cancer. Not the ones who are so sick they might want to be dying. I don't see those in the headlines. I think it's atrocious that we are not given that information. 1.5, and that's in the United States. That's not the world. United States. 4 jumbo jets a day with cancer patients. 1.5 million people have heart attacks every year. 500,000 die. Many are women. Children at age 3 have fatty deposits in their arteries. By the age of 12, 70% of all American children have developed the beginning of hardening of the arteries. 1 in 3 born after 2000 will develop early onset diabetes, or type 2. In the nursing, when I graduated the nursing school, nursing in the early 60s, we didn't call it type 2. It was adult onset. They can't call it anymore because kids are getting it. The most commonly consumed foods in the U.S. are white bread, coffee, and hot dogs. We truly are the most overfed but undernourished women, people in the world. 10 years ago, I read about a study. There were some autopsies on teenagers, and they said there was such a horrible buildup of plaque in the arteries that they would not have lived to be 40. So many children today will not outlive their parents. So 60 million people suffer from depression, and the number one prescription for children is for bipolar and depression. Now, regarding our approach to medicine, we treat disease rather than prevent it. And Dr. Dennis Burkett, he says, if people are falling over the edge of a cliff and sustaining injuries, the problem could be to deal by stationing ambulances at the bottom or by erecting fences at the top. We put way too much effort into the position of the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff and too little approach in erecting fences. And we can talk about erecting fences as a healthy eating, the foods that don't have a label are the ones things you should buy. And the raw apple is better than baked apples, which is better than apple pie. We need to eat to live, not live to eat. Now, having said that, I love eating. I enjoy food, so it's okay to really enjoy it. Another area that we are very, very poor in is our pH levels, our acidity and alkalinity. Most Americans have a very acid pH, which increases the risk for cellular mutation or cancer, and also bone health. Most days, I have done that even here. I start the day with fresh lemon juice and water, and even the lemons and limes seem acidic. In the body, they have the highest in alkalinity. You want to get really good salt. Real salt is called real salt or Celtic salt with natural minerals and no aluminum. Water, how much water do I need? Take your weight and divide it by 2. That's how many ounces you need. Now let's go to genetically modified seeds, which is another thing. Genetically modified seeds have built-in pesticides and herbicides into the DNA of the seed. In 1980, the Supreme Court said you could patent life, the life force of a seed. Tampering with the life force of seeds sounds very anti-Torah to me. Who knows the ramifications of us eating these seeds and foods that have had their DNA tampered with? And these GMO plants grow sterile seeds which won't produce. But that gives big companies like Monsanto huge control over the farmer and reaping huge benefits. Another film that you can see on the internet, you can Google that, is a video called Seeds of Deception by Jeffrey Smith. This is on GMO. It's very good. Seeds of Deception by Jeffrey Smith. Monsanto owns up towards 90% of all seed. When Haiti had its earthquake and the farmers were, of course, desperate, they were given thousands of pounds of GMO seed. You know what they did? Have you heard it? They burned it all. They were smart. In their need, they didn't want the contamination. Now, 70% of the processed food at your supermarket contains genetically engineered food ingredients. In 2008, 90% of all the soybeans were from Monsanto seed, 85% of the corn. And just to save a little bit of time here, I'm just going to tell you that you can avoid a lot of GMO if you won't eat soy, corn, canola oil, which really isn't good for you at all, and cottonseed oil. And now I've heard something about sugar beets, so we've got to look into that. But if you buy organic, that's one way that you can say, I'm not going to get the GMO, genetically modified, genetically engineered. Another thing you can Google is, and I have it at home, I didn't bring it, is a shopping guide for non-GMO products. And they'll have a whole list of things. They're all non-GMO. You know that the PLU stickers, you probably know all in 5 minutes. If you have a 4-digit number in your PLU sticker, it means it's conventionally grown. And then that 5-digit number beginning with 9 means it's organic. But it doesn't really matter what I can say about GMO labeling because it's not required in our country. Well, if a 5-digit number beginning with 8 means it's GM, genetically modified.
Is it the second number or is it the
3? Oh, really?
And you will find it in organic because other countries do not have the same standards that they can ship it.
They can ship it what?
They can ship it into the United States as organic because the standard in other countries is not.
Okay, that's all. Thank you for that information. Europe requires genetic.
Local.
What?
You want to get your food local.
Local. Or grow it. Europe requires genetic modified GM labeling. Anyway, our FDA accepts the words of Monsanto totally, requires no safety studies. But here's something interesting. There are no studies that have proven that GM foods are safe for consumption. Various studies have been linked with GM foods to infertility, cancer, food allergies, damage to the immune system, growth of superviruses, liver damage, insulin regulation, just to name a few. And we probably know the answer why this is still allowed. Well, it's the twin evils called profit and control. In some studies where the animals were fed GMO soy, by the third generation, they were not able to reproduce. In the UK, it's been reported that there's been a 50% increase in allergies to soy after ingesting genetically modified soy. And here's something I just learned a couple of weeks ago in preparing this. Since 2003, farmers from India have been reporting deaths of thousands of sheep and other small livestock who graze on post-harvest fields. At no time before in India's history have cattle died from this practice. And another alarming stat that just blew me away is that there's been 100,000 farmers have committed suicide because they've lost their herd and income from this practice. Monsanto, and this is from the Food Inc. Film, Monsanto has 75 investigators to go around and to check to see if you're saving your own seed. They're very intimidating. One farmer on this film had already spent $40,000 and yet not been in the courtroom once. Genetically engineered foods will affect the health of future generations. We must strongly object to this growing concern, and I don't know all how to do it except to talk and write and protest. Where am I, Al? Where's my next little... Oh, 2 minutes, okay. In closing, In closing, illness is at least 50 times more expensive than wellness, to say nothing of the pain, frustration, low energy, and often a shortened life. And according to the New England Journal of Medicine, we can prevent 70% of the illnesses in our country. Look at empty hospitals. If people really... What? Of course it's money market. What do you think it is? It's control and profit. It's not about the health of people. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to say that, but all my reading and research is not about people's health in most cases. But we often have to put time, energy, and money if we want to stay healthy. But remember, our body's a temple. We're commanded to take good care of it. So let's choose life. And what I want to do in closing before questions and answers is to read a poem, and I have permission from a friend of mine, Cleone Miller, who has done a lot of work with nutrition and teaching nutrition and also the emotional aspects of overeating, which we know is present because at my daughter's wedding there was no limit to how much I wanted to eat. I didn't even say this is good for me, you know. At the reception, we eat when we're happy, we eat when we're sad. If we have emotions that we're not dealing with, we can cover it up and pack it down with food. And I did that one time in my life when I was going through a real severe depression. Okay, let me finish this up. Okay, it's called Life Versus Death. Centered foods are living foods. Living foods are whole foods. The more whole a food is, the more alive the food is. And the more refined and processed something is, the more dead it is. Sugar is a dead food. Leave it in the sugar bowl for a year, it just stays the same, dead. But how long can you leave living foods on the table? Bread, raw vegetables, fresh fruits. The fresher, the more alive. The more prepared, the less alive. The more ingredients, the less alive. 52 ingredients on the label? Why is that life? Chemicals, additives, fancy packaging. You don't want to prepare, you say. You don't want to clean, chop, grape, slice. But what colors are more of a feast to your eyes? The colors of the fancy packages? Or the colors of the fresh produce, as my husband, when he just was all over the kitchen counter? What is your life worth to you? How much do you want to live? Your body is a temple. Choose life. Hey, just hold the stop. Questions? Yeah.
My research to organic seed about 5 years ago, and it takes 4 to 6 months.
See, that's why I was questioning, because I just read 4 to 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to repeat the question. The question is,
if I'm growing a hen
for what?
Conventionally, it takes 6 to 8 weeks.
Conventionally, to grow a hen is 6 to 8 weeks. For an organic hen, they lay in 4 to 6 months.
And not only that, since we switched to organic seed, we've not seen one with disease.
And when sensitive persons switch to organic feed, they haven't had one bird with disease.
And we have a friend who has just hatched some of our eggs, but before that he was trying to candle them with any type of light he could find. And candling is you can look through the egg and see if it's fertilized or not. But if the egg is healthy enough, you cannot see it because the cell is alive. You couldn't tell anyone.
Wow. Well, that's too much to repeat, but anybody else? Question? Or Anne?
Steve just mentioned my son did a farm thing out in Utah, and they said that with cows that were fed regular corn, you know, GMO corn and different things,
mm-hmm.
if they did not slaughter and extinct them, they would die within a couple more months.
So these were cattle that were fed GMO? GMO food, and if they didn't slaughter them at a certain time,
they would die.
And that was from your son who's in...
He went down and visited an area that did a whole area in Utah where they were self-sustaining in their own land.
Okay. This is from one of the participants' sons that's in school. Yes, Harriet.
I just want to share that I'm getting a little bit afraid of corn grain. That you get in the market. I have a Maltese, and he's about 13 years old at the time. And I thought he was going to die. He was, you know, Maltese, the little tails are up, the little ears are back. They kind of prance around like mm-hmm. little carousel horses. You know, they're just really tough little guys. And he was dragging. His ears wouldn't come in. He was dragging. He couldn't jump up. He was bumping into stuff. Mm-hmm. I went to the holding spot. And I was talking to a lady that was working there, and she was telling me about this organic food. She said, it doesn't have any corn. And I said, well, I mean, why would that make a difference? And she said, trust me, my dog was not in good shape, and I put him on this more than a few days. He was doing great. I put my dog on a food that has no corn in it. That's the only difference, no corn. And it may be organic. I didn't even look at it. It just doesn't have corn in it. Within 3 days,
so when your dog was sick, you switched him to some really good dog food that didn't have corn in it. His tail went up and he bounced up and he recovered. Wonderful. Would you say that probably that the corn was genetically modified and that?
Well, I know that
most corn is
genetically modified. What you're modifying it with, I'm a little afraid of. There's another movie you guys probably ought to see, and it's on PBS quite often, on Point of View. It's called King Corn. And that one, when I watched that,
what's it called, Harriet?
King Corn.
King Corn? A king? Okay, this is a movie that one of the participants is recommending, King Corn. And you can, from PBS?
Sometimes you can go on PBS, look under the archives.
Okay, look at the archives in PBS under King Corn. Thank you, Harry. Yes, Jen.
I would like to know where you can buy this seed.
One place to buy good.
Just type in heirloom seeds, and that will give you all the seed companies that sell heirlooms. And then you want to get seeds from as close to your area as you possibly can, because they're at a true seed adapts to the area.
Right.
And so it's going to do better for you.
But the question is, where do you buy good heritage seeds, right? Mm-hmm. Or
good
the two sources, I want to just get this on here. This is Abundant
Life Seed Company.
Abundant Life Seed Company.
And Johnny's.
Two ends and a Y.
Farmer.
And get the seeds that are local. Let's get the seeds as
closest
to your area so that they will grow well in your soil.
They're all across the country.
Yeah.
Very about three heirloom seed companies.
Baker Creek.
There are three other ones that are a little bit smaller than Baker Creek. Baker Creek has one now. Here, they have one on each coast. So, they're, and then there's a lot of little family heirloom seed companies.
Yeah.
Those are the ones you
want to
go to.
Abundant Life is one of them.
Yeah.
So, Abundant Life is a family grown...
Okay,
that is a very good one.
But Farmers Market is a great place. Yeah. Because those guys, guys are growing, or most of them, not all of them. We have
some
heirlooms.
Yeah. We have someone in my basement that says heirloom tomatoes.
I sell them when I sell my produce. You know, I'm always like, save the seeds, you can grow this.
Right. And they're willing to show you how it's made.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good idea when you...
You can get that off the internet, too, okay.
When you buy your produce, that's what you can see.
And call them now to get on their mailing list. You get the catalog and
they sell out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, call now so you get the catalog ahead of time before you need them.
Can you order them by February?
Okay, order them by February, right. Order by February.
Yeah. I just wanted to make a comment about MSG, because MSG is organic, and it will be in the majority of your organic foods. As you go to the health food store, you have to do the same thing. You've got to talk to outer perimeter, because MSG is not a chemical. It is not anything non-substantial. So it is in every product. And why is it there? It's addictive.
But it's not in organic. Is it put in organic food, ma'am?
Oh, yes. It is in almost every processed organic food out there. And it is not labeled always MSG, because it comes under other...
Oh, 25 different names, yeah.
Yeah. So MSG is a very bad product, but it is organic. So you have to think about
yes, ma'am.
It's
flavors.
Anything that's labeled natural flavors. Really
natural flavors are, are MSG.
Yeah, it is very, very.
Although what we call it, I went to stores, check on that with certain companies, and said, you know, it's natural flavoring, you can read, it's like MSG, and they have checked it, and it's not, there is such a thing as natural MSG that is not dangerous. So you can't call the
7800
number and ask them.
You can. There is such a thing as natural MSG?
I think
Denise? There is a natural MSG.
Right, it's
okay.
Natural.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. So you can get, okay.
It is, but if it, like what she's saying, if it is part of the food, if it's not been...
Process
out of
the food and then re-put back in is what we're saying.
Right.
And so that's where
you're going to want.
Yes.
Yeah. Some genetically modified tomatoes have pig mice genes.
Every genetic modified seed has animal genes in it.
Has animal genes in it.
If it is GMO, it has animal genes in it.
That's just so sick. Have you heard about the frankenfish now, the salmon?
Yeah,
salmon there, and it's going to be eels. It's going to be eels. They inject an eel into it, and that's an unclean animal.
Yeah, the GMO feed really is not kosher. It is unclean almost always.
That's one version.
And the only way you can avoid it is if the product says no GMO.
But it doesn't have to be labeled that. I mean.
Well, that's the only product you can guarantee that
is. Yes. Yes.
It has to be tested.
Yes, sir.
Just a quick comment. I'm another husband that cleans the juicer.
Oh, praise God. Yay! You and Al are to be praised. We'll give you stickers.
I share a quote. I don't know who said it about the mummy food that you have here, and that is, only eat that which will rot, but eat it before it does.
Yes, like our two pairs upstairs. I'm not sure we're going to get them down. Yes.
It's put in an environment that only that they monitor and they look, and not all mold is bad. Okay. So, and to distinguish that, you're going to have a little bit of experience and training and whatever. But
so blue cheese, as far as mold, is not something someone with a yeast infection should avoid.
Every cheese is inoculated with some bacteria. Okay, and then that is put in an environment to allow that bacteria to grow faster than the others.
Mm-hmm. Another question. What about maple syrup if you get mold on it? Skim it off? Bring it to a boil?
I skimmed mine off and I boiled it. Is that okay?
I would dump it just because
I didn't.
Of course I've already went through it, you know.
The boiling doesn't help it?
Yeah,
it's not.
Oh dear, I'm too frugal.
Old timer, or what information is information? Because I got this information from an old timer.
Well, he could, and I'm sure you're going to find both sides of that story, okay. You know. What I would tell my clients is, that all depends on your digestion, whether or not you can handle that, whether or not you're going to be sensitive to that, it's going to be a bad thing or a good thing. It's going to weaken the
immune
system. Okay, there's no doubt.
Another question. What about apple cider vinegar, raw apple cider vinegar? How do you make apple cider vinegar?
Talk to my son-in-law. He does it.
There is a recipe online.
No, I just thought for the benefit of everybody here.
My son, look at that.
Can you elaborate for the benefit of everybody
here? You know, he's a chemist, you know.
Is he here?
Yeah, he's here.
I should shut this off.
There is a good, yeah. And the Little House on the Prairie. It's a recipe from back a long time ago about when they would peel the apples. And the apple cores. There's a recipe, and I found it on the internet. It's from like way back. It's I think it's called Hillbilly Housewives or something. And it's how they used to save all their apple peelings and cores to make the apple cider vinegar. And it's just naturally made.
Yeah, you can take alcohol, you can, a mother will dissolve. She has petri dishes that were perfect for growing bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
All foods have favor certain bacteria. So basically, you're favoring yeast. Mm-hmm. You can let yeast develop alcohol, and there's another bacteria, I forgot what it is, a thermal bacteria or something like that, and break down the alcohol to the acid. It's my understanding you don't really need to worry about the alcohol content because it stops naturally at 12%.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably have to dilute it.
What if you can see baking your kitchen? Your yeast pores are there all the time.
We don't wind up, but the other day I made an apple crisp with just a little bit of crumbs on top with some organic apples, and I was peeling, Eleanor peeling all these apples, and I'm thinking, I don't want to throw these wonderful peelings away, you know, all the nutrition. So I just cooked them up with some water. I just cooked them up, and it was just wonderful. I would just put it in a dish, and just put a little bit of succinate, you know what that is. So just a little succinate, maybe a couple of teaspoons, and it was just absolutely delicious. So I thought, here I'm getting my, you know, throw away all my apple peelings. Well, no, I've never done that, Joyce. Well, I don't have to peel them. Well, hallelujah. I never thought about it. It's the way my mother did it, who probably her grandma did it. Yes? Is that true?
Apple cider vinegar is very much the same as your stomach acid. The white vinegar is the one that's contrary to your
health. So your natural...
raw. It's just pasteurized, I would say, yes.
Raw. No. Any other comments? How do you take it, Susan?
I add a little bit of honey into it and add water.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments?
No.
Okay, thank you so much. Yes.
You don't have to throw out the stuff after juicing.
What?
You don't throw out the stuff after juicing. You can send it twice through the champion juicer. If not, you can cook it and cook whole potatoes in it. Potatoes will absorb all the minerals in my body.
Oh, really?
I will make cookies. Okay, I want your help.
So help yourself. Help yourself. So what did you say you do? What did you say you do? All that pop in the compost. So that's what we do.
Put it in a big pot. Boil it with the water. And put potatoes in it. Potatoes absorb.
Yes.
If you oversalt something, potatoes in it, it will absorb extra.
Just cut up potatoes and cook it, and it will. And then
you can put them whole. And then you just eat the potatoes.
Help
potato
yourself.
Is like a sponge.
Okay, and then you eat the potatoes, and that will all the minerals from
minerals
before you throw that in the compost pile. That's
then
it.
You can
thank you.
You can even drink the water.
What?
You can also use it and make cookies.
With pulp from your.
You
I just keep
water,
learning, Cindy. I just. Who wanted this book? Anybody? Okay. Would you like it?
Yeah.
Are you?
She asked her, so she did.
Okay.
I'm waiting for your
muffins
because I've got a grandson who's in Poland.
Oh, they're wonderful. I got them from a homeopathic physician, and I just make them all the time. Okay, then I need your.
How would we email you? Did you want my email? Was that easy?
Just give me your email. And then my email.
Thank you so much.
Did you learn a few things? Did you learn anything?
I did. And I had stuff reminded to me that I read. But have you heard of the cochineal coloring made out of the red beetles?
No.
The bugs?
No.
That might be something you want to look
at. Cochineal?
Cochineal. And the other day I bought some candy and I looked for an ingredient in there.
The cochineal.
Cochineal.
From that.
Red beetles. And they put it in candy and also lacquer.
Is that good or bad? It's bad or good?
It's made out of bugs. And they put that in candy. Yeah. I mean, these mice.